Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, last week, Pastor Reynolds preached about the two different kinds of repentance. And we kind of talked about how repentance, at least the kind like Judas Iscariot had after he betrayed Christ, it really didn't make him turn away from himself and toward God, while true repentance not only makes us turn away from our own sinful nature, but makes us turn to God. And if you missed that message and would like to hear it, I'd encourage you to log on to our website at independencebaptist.org and check out the audio section. From there, you're going to be able to listen to that one and many other prior radio broadcasts as well. Now, for this morning's message, Pastor Reynolds will be talking about the Holy Word of God, not just reading the Word of God, but talking about the actual Word itself. And so that Bible, it's such a precious gift from God, and it's so appropriate that we're going to spend the next couple weeks talking simply about God's Holy Word and how perfect it is.
This morning, we'd like to take our text from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. The Bible says in this place, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I'm thankful that this Bible verse is here, because this verse teaches us how that we can be what God wants us to be. You see, the Bible says in this place, in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, without any kind of sin at all. The Bible goes on and says in verse 17, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible tells us exactly what we need. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible says that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible says that it's God-breathed. In 2 Timothy 3, in verse 16, the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that it's God-breathed. It didn't mean that men did not write it. It meant that God breathed it, that God told them what to write. You know, I'm really glad that there is a book in this world that is pure, that it is wholesome, that it is right, that it is good for us. This book is the Bible. This book is God's holy word. You know, I believe today that the Bible is written by men divinely inspired. God put it upon men to write this. I'm glad that the Bible is here as a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction. The Bible teaches us how that we can live right. The Bible teaches us what God really expects of us. The Bible teaches us how He will judge us. I'm thankful that God has given to us a book like this. I'm glad that God has written the Bible for us. I'm glad the Bible teaches us about salvation. Without a knowledge of how to be saved and what it means to live right, to do what God wants us to do, we would be empty of that. We wouldn't have any idea what God really expects. But God's been very gracious to us in giving us His own truth. The Bible also contains all of the truth of the Word of God. There's not any mixture of error in it whatsoever. The Bible is very true. Dealing with the Bible is a precious thing indeed. This Bible tells us all of the principles by which God will judge us. We will all be judged of God. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, whether we even think that it's possible or not, God will judge every one of us. That is absolutely the way that it is. The Bible will remain upon this earth until the end of the world. Therefore, the whole center of Christian union is with the Lord. The Bible is the supreme standard by which all human conduct, all human creeds, and all human opinions should be tried. You see, it's not enough just to say, I think a certain thing is so. It is only true if God says that it's true. I'm glad that God has given to us this truth of the Word of God, that we can have something true to live by. I'm glad that we can have the Bible to raise our children by. I'm glad that we can have our Bibles with us to understand how to go in and out in this wicked world in which we live. I'm thankful that God loves us so much that He has given to us His own Holy Word. You know, when you think about it, Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy 3, tells Timothy that it was through the learning of the Scriptures as a child that he was brought to the saving knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God has given to us His own Holy Word and that He has touched us with His truth. I'm thankful that God has blessed in such a great way. But you think about today that a lot of people may not have this. A lot of people are confused about which Bible to even use because there's many versions on the market today. But we only need the King James Bible. It's the true one that God has given to us so earnestly, so wonderfully He's given to us. When Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told him that it was through the learning of Scriptures as a child, Paul here was not referring to the New Testament passages. But rather, Paul was speaking about the Old Testament that taught about salvation. The New Testament was being written by Paul when he wrote to Timothy. Understand that that is so. The Old Testament Scriptures and the New Testament Scriptures are both covenants. They are given by God and are profitable for doctrine. The Bible says in verse number 16 that the Word of God is good for doctrine. The word doctrine means teachings. It means to learn what God wants of us. The Bible says that it's good for reproof, that is, conviction, that the Word of God rebukes with such effectual power that it is able to bring conviction of sin. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that it's good for correction, that is, that it's good for setting the right improvement of our lives. And we need that. The Bible says in verse 16 that it's good for instruction, that is, for discipline, chastisement. It is used in the New Testament, especially of God's chastisement by means of sorrow and evil. The Bible is just really good for us. We need the Bible because it's God's holy word unto us. And we were all going to go into eternity. We're here upon this earth not for a very long time, but we're here for a little short while, and then we will give account to God for our lives and how we spent those lives. May we today do what God and God only wants us to do. There's two things that the Bible says that we ought to do. We ought to be perfect. That is, that we ought to be complete. That we ought to be fitted. We ought to be used the way God wants us to be used. The Bible says that we ought to be thoroughly furnished. That is, that we ought to be complete or finished. Just as a person who studies the Word of God will be fitted out, that will be completed They will know what they're doing, and they will do it for the sake of God and God alone. I'm thankful today that God has given to us His own holy word. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world that's full of books. We live in a world that's full of different ideas, different opinions of things. But I'm thankful today that God has given to us His Bible, the truth that He wants us to know, the truth that He wants us to understand, the truth that He wants us to live by. I'm glad that God has given to us the Bible. But there's more scriptures that teach that God has given to us His own holy word. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, therefore the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is absolutely the truth. God gave to us His own holy word, and He wants us to learn what His word is. The Bible also gives us this admonition in the book of 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 2. As David was about to die, he had lived his life the way that God wanted him to live it. He had done much good for the nation of Israel. He had done much good for himself. Absolutely so. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. There is no doubt today that we have many of the Psalms that were written by this man, David. He was a faithful child of God. I know that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. I know that. I know they also paid the price for that wicked act. But listen, David was a man who was used of God in a great and a marvelous way. He was one that taught many people the truth of the Word of God. And he still does that same thing today. If you just read the book of Psalms, you'll find many of the lessons that David had learned were given in that day. And they're still applicable unto today. The Bible says that God wrote the book. I know that God used men to write it. But I'm thankful today that God has given to us a Bible that we can hold in our hands, we can have, and we can know that God has blessed us in a marvelous way in giving to us His own holy word. The Bible says in the book of John 5 and verse 39 through verse 40, as Jesus Christ was speaking here to the Pharisees, He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But notice what Jesus said in verse 40 of John 5 and verse number 40. Jesus said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. This tells us the story of the Bible. Some people, you see, use the Bible to prove that they are right, while others use the Bible to prove that God is right. Which classification are you in? Are you one of those that use the Bible to prove your point? Or do you use the Bible to prove God's point? You see, these Pharisees in this day, they had used the scriptures, and they thought that they had eternal life. They used the Bible. They went through the Old Testament. They were experts at it. But the Bible says that they were using the scriptures in the wrong way. They were using the Bible to prove their point. They were not using the Bible to prove God's point. What are you doing today with the Bible? Are you using it just to prove your point? Are you using the Bible to prove God's point? That God is absolutely right. And that we are the ones that need the Bible. The Bible reveals what eternal life really is. It is through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross of Calvary. It is through what Jesus Christ has done for us, not what we're doing for Him. Jesus said, the Old Testament scriptures told of Him. You see, people in the Old Testament were saved just like we in the New Testament are saved. We're all saved by faith in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the people there look forward to the death of Jesus Christ because they knew that they needed a Redeemer. They knew that they needed something other than themselves. And today, we look back at the cross of Calvary, at the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave of Himself on the cross, the blood that He shed, therefore, sinners, and we're one of them. We need something other than us, but we need Jesus Christ. But look with me in the scriptures in the book of 1 Peter. The Bible says here in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, it's important to know that Jesus Christ died for sinners. It's very important to know that. But Peter makes this statement that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what gives us a lively hope. It is not just the death of Jesus Christ, but it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ did the impossible because He took our place on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ died for us. And this is what the Bible talks about. The Bible says in verse number 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Listen, the Bible talks about how that Christ has given to us everything that we could not gain for ourselves. The Bible is a really good book. It is better than good. It is the best book because it tells about Jesus Christ and about the great gift that He's given to us of eternal life. And the hope that we have after death. I'm thankful today that not only do I have hope in Christ now, but I have hope in Christ forever. Even after I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. It's so very good to know that. The Bible said in verse 5, "Who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You see, even today, I'm kept by the power of God. I'm not kept by my power. I'm not kept by what I do. Rather, I'm kept by the power of God. I'm not kept because I'm a preacher. I'm not kept because I'm baptized. I'm not kept because I try to be faithful to God. No. But I'm kept by the power of God. Do you see that? I'm kept by the power of God. He loves me. I don't know why He does. I'm so grateful that He does love me, because I could never earn His love or His admiration for me at all. I could never do enough to earn him dying for me on the cross of Calvary. I could never do enough to cause him to raise from the dead. I could never do enough to cause him to give me an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and that fadeth not away, that is reserved for me. The Bible said in verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. And this is the truth, isn't it? That we greatly rejoice whenever we know that we've been saved. That we have all these good things that God and God alone has given unto us. But the Bible said in verse number 6, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There's many different temptations that come upon us in this world. There's many things that we have to face. There's many sicknesses. There's much sorrow. There's much grief. That is absolutely the truth. But it causes us to run to Jesus Christ and realize that we have hope in Him and in Him alone. He's the only one that can save our soul. And He's the only one that can help us when we have great troubles and trials and tribulations and all kinds of anguish that come upon us. God is the only one that can really answer our prayers. Understand that that is so. The Bible said in verse number 7, there's a reason that we have all the kinds of troubles that we have. There's a reason for it all in verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us here why we have all this trouble. Sometimes we have trouble because of our own problems, because of our own sins. But sometimes we have trouble just because we have trouble, just because we're sinners. We live in a wicked world, and sometimes trouble comes. But we can always depend upon the Lord. The Bible says that when the end of this world comes, we'll know that He is the one that sustained us. He is the one that holds us up. He's the one that gives us strength to continue and to do what He wants us to do every day. The Bible said in verse number 8 of 1 Peter chapter 1, whom having not seen, ye love. Have you ever seen the Lord? I've not seen Him. And yet I love Him. Because He watches over me. He cares for me. He loves me. And what have I done to deserve all of that? Nothing at all. I give eternal praise unto my God, who saves me from my wicked sins, who has kept me safe in His arms all these years. But listen, the time that He has kept me safe might be a few years, but it's not as long as eternity will be, because eternity will never, ever end. You see, that's why I love the Lord. Because He first loved me. All power and all glory and all honor is to be given unto God. For He is the one who has loved me. I'm glad for it. The Bible said, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible is absolutely right here when it tells that we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Not our glory. Rather, it is the glory that's given to Almighty God for us. You see, all of these things are because that Jesus Christ has loved us. How do I know all this? Well, it's because the Bible is God's Word. It's because the Bible tells me. Because God loves me so much. Because He's given to me this precious Word. And I can love Him so much because He first loved me. And He watches out for me. He gave me the Bible. It would be a silly thing, would it not, if I would just throw the Bible away and say, I don't need that anymore. I'm now saved. Wouldn't that be a foolish thing for me to do? You know, we need the Bible. It is God's own precious Word. It is His promises unto us. It is full of the blessings of God for us. We can have hope in the Bible. We can have trust in the Bible because it is God's own holy Word. It is something in this world of nothingness that is eternal, that is full of hope and really, really great things. The Bible is true. It doesn't have any error in it at all. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, in verse 5, in verse number 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. The Bible says this, add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. The Bible says in verse number 5 that the Word of God is not like the Word of man. It is pure. It can be trusted because God said it. God is absolutely right. And He's absolutely perfect. He never sins whatsoever. And when God gave us His Word, He intended that Word to be a blessing unto us. In verse number 6, the Bible says to add to God's pure Word is foolishness and will always make the one who does it a liar. Listen, don't be adding to the Word of God. We don't need that. The Bible says the Word of God is enough for us. If we just take the Word of God and use it, think about this morning as we close. What a blessing it is that God in this imperfect world has given to us a perfect book to follow. He's given to us the Old and the New Testament in the form of the King James Bible. This is a real blessing that God's given to us. I pray today that you might understand, that you might take these words and use those words, and that these words of God will be a real blessing to you. Thank you.
You know, we pray that the message this morning has been a blessing to you. Or maybe if it hasn't been a blessing, maybe it's challenged you to think about the Word of God more and what it means and what it is and the place that it should have in our lives. Whether a blessing or a challenge, we trust that the Lord will use it to help and encourage you. As we start to wind down our time this morning, we do want to send out several invitations. One, of course, is an invitation to our church's website. The website address is independencebaptist.org. And from there, you can listen to sermons, you can read articles, you can download books. We've even got sermon outlines that you can look at for study purposes. Secondly, we'd like to invite you to actually attend services with us. We meet each Sunday at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Now, on Sunday mornings, we meet together at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, and then we start our morning worship services at 11 a.m. Then in the afternoon, we all come back together for a prayer meeting at 3:45. Then during the middle of the week, we also meet together at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights for a Bible study. So if you're able to, please drop by and visit with us. Now, we've once again came down to the close of this morning's message, but we are very thankful to have been with you, and we pray that you'll be able to listen in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message about God's holy word.